Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Tweet at us or just follow us or both. Twitter is at TNT Radio Empire. You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Now, listen, damn it. And the podcast out there too, Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Alexa plays the show. Petey Max in the house. Our buddy Richard Reese going to stop a little later on.
Cool.
We're tweeting at TNT Radio Empire. I think that Bush has a Megyn Kelly up there. And, you know, might not like her personally or professionally, but she's hot. And she's in a bikini.
And paddleboarding.
Paddleboarding in the Bahamas.
You might like her paddleboarding.
And takes care of a little tan line Tuesday. I got to get more up there.
Dr. Mina's going to join us now.
Oh, cool.
Hey, great. Good morning.
Hello.
How you been?
Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning. You weren't listening live to us, were you?
I just caught something about paddleboarding in a bikini.
Okay. Well,
okay. And I wanted to know how you knew, but, you know.
Craig did a story earlier.
Oh, yeah. Craig well, did a story. How everybody paddleboards.
Just before the break, Craig did a story about an Indian guy in a lower caste who was allowed to vote for the first time, I guess, and pushed the wrong button and cut his finger off. Because he's just mad at himself for voting for the wrong guy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea.
Self-punishment.
Then we could pick people out in this country with missing fingers.
Yeah, but Dr. Mina knows nothing about the lower caste in India.
No, she's from here.
She didn't hang around with those folks.
She's a history person. She
I actually know. I know about that. Well, so when I was there is still, so for those who don't know, the caste system is something that is abolished but still exists unofficially in India.
Okay, I thought so.
It unofficially exists here, too, by the way.
Yeah, this is unfortunately true.
Yes, sure, and it's unofficially never going away.
No, hell no.
I hope so. I hope it is. I really do. Right. I mean, this was something that Gandhi actually very, very much was an advocate that we needed to get rid of this, that everybody was equal and that we needed to treat everyone equally. I just remember personally that when I was a kid, there was a cleaning lady who used to come to my grandmother's house when I was visiting her in India, and I thought she had the most fun job, and I would actually help her clean like the floors and everything, and my grandmother would just go crazy.
You can't help the poor clean, right?
No.
I got it, yeah.
She was like, no, my granddaughter cannot be doing that. And I just thought it was so much fun.
Yeah.
They're great pictures. And then my mother would take me aside, like, please don't do this because I'm going to get in trouble with my mother-in-law. Please don't do this.
Because you were doing the caste system. Okay, got it.
I was breaking through the caste system.
You're a doctor. You
the other
don't
way.
Clean.
The other way.
So there were a lot of questions, and I probably should have called in earlier about this, because Todd brought up something last week about should you light up your vodka and smoke it. So I want to be perfectly clear to the audience.
Vaping.
Lighting up Vaping. Vodka can be very, very bad. Alcohol is extremely flammable, especially if you're already drinking. So I really want to make very, very clear that...
Well, I wasn't talking about putting a direct flame to the vodka.
Well, the exact quote was, should you light up your vodka and smoke it?
Yeah.
Then the vaping came up a little
bit. Lighting up the bottom of the bottle and then smoking the vodka vapors.
Oh, that's right. Running out of vodka, and there's a little bit left in the bottom. You can't drink.
I don't know how it came about.
Here
no. No.
Alcoholism.
No. Also, I was very proud of the few days that you took off from alcohol, though. But also along the same lines, don't throw acid in your friend's face,
Todd did that again, too, man.
No, that's an internet challenge.
You don't have to talk about it. It's all right.
Not to throw muriatic acid in their friend's face, even if it's for a good cause.
No, it's not ever a good cause. Ever. Also, don't inject your penis with anything, including but not limited to types of cooking oil. And do not ingest, the wrappers on your food? Because then I have to go in and clean those things out.
Yeah,
and they look awful on the other side.
Yeah, you would have to rip the wrapper out. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, and
I've thought about that. Yeah.
Yes, I've fished out batteries, car keys, pens, those push.
Hey, Craig, car keys, findable drive out.
They couldn't find them, huh?
Especially the freshmen, like the beginning of college, kids are so idiotic,
yes.
And then they get drunk, and then they do even stupider things than they normally would do at that age.
Yep.
And this kid was drinking and didn't, and his friends didn't want him to drive home. They wanted to take his car keys, and he got so mad, he took his car key and swallowed it. And
oh, my God.
And then his friends were afraid because he was underage and he was drinking, so they just dropped him off at the ER with, like, nobody.
Oh, man.
And so we had to go fish his car key out of his stomach. It was great.
This was at Yale?
No, that was here at Penn.
I know. It was at Penn.
Yeah, I was a doctor.
Got an Ivy League school. Some dumbass at Penn did that. Great.
Well, people drop them. You know, they drop their friends off at ERs all over the place.
Yeah,
we just happen
true.
To be close to a lot of colleges
right.
here. But along the same line, it's a good thing we didn't do that as non-medical students.
we fished some keys out of Jim's stomach. As communications majors.
Right, right.
Take them all out. There was also a story about the rate of kids swallowing things. This is younger kids now.
Right.
Age six has increased significantly. I think the years that they gave in this article was 1995 to 2015. It's increased like almost twice. It's doubled, basically.
Right.
And I just want to remind folks that the most... You should bring your child, if you suspect that they have ingested anything, even if it seems pretty innocuous, even if it doesn't seem like it's going to cause any damage, you should still bring them into the ER. Let us make that decision, because we do want to see at the very minimum that it's like we take an x-ray, make sure it's passed through the stomach, and then also make a decision about what it was and how much that it was ingested. The most common things that are ingested by kids are coins. We do sometimes have to remove coins from kids' stomachs. A lot of times they will pass through, but sometimes they don't. But then other things, batteries, magnets, these are really serious, and we do have to go in and take them out of kids' stomachs because they can cause...
Can you tell if he swallowed it and it went through or he just shoved it up the other end?
Why do you ask?
It's an email push
for a friend.
Text me. Ask Dr. Mina this.
Usually, things that get shoved into your ass don't move up very easily because the natural peristalsis of your GI system is to go the other direction.
Unless you have a really talented sphincter.
So if you saw a marble and a guy's right 6 inches up there, can you tell? Can you tell it went through or it went up?
Yeah. He stuck it up. There.
Got it. Okay,
he stuck it up.
There. Okay, got it.
But we have, we can watch in very sad situations where there's lack of consent to have something removed. And I just remember this particular case when I was a medical student because there was a whole ethics board. We were watching razor blades in this woman's intestinal tract because
wouldn't that slice her up?
Absolutely. And this was the concern was whether she had consent to refuse for us to go in because that was a surgery procedure. This wasn't something it had passed past the point where the GI doctors could take it out, and she was refusing surgery. And so there was this there was a whole ethics board that had to occur to deem her incapable of providing consent so that we could go in and do the surgery to get these out. But it was daily x-rays basically watching these.
When a kid swallows something indigestible, you got to go in and cut it out? Is that surgical?
Sometimes you do.
It depends on where it is. Yeah.
It depends. So mostly with kids, the GI doctors can get them out because the scopes can get down pretty far. And especially if you bring them in right away after you think that they've ingested something, it's in the stomach. It hasn't moved past the stomach. We just go in the stomach and get it out. But if it's been a while, it gets into the small intestine. That's a little bit harder because the small intestine is about 23 feet long. And so in an adult, it's much, much harder to get it out. And then also in certain circumstances, if it's something that we are worried, like if somebody has ingested or swallowed, let's say, a bag of chemicals or drugs or something, the concern is if we try to go in and we puncture it, they die. So you want to have a surgical procedure so you can very carefully remove it without breaking the baggie or whatever they had ingested.
Okay, so if it hasn't gotten through, past the stomach, you can just use your claw machine.
Yeah, but it goes all the way down your throat.
We use an ETD,
right?
Yes. Right. It looks like a colonoscopy scope, but it's a little bit thinner, a little bit shorter.
Down your throat.
Go in there, no problem.
Ugh.
So I will tell you that, side story, when I was pregnant with my first kid is a boy, and when I was pregnant, we're very close colleagues with our children's hospitals right next door to us, and all of my GI colleagues over there started laughing. They're like, we can't wait to scope your son when he swallows things, because boys are monumentally more likely to swallow things. They just put things in their mouth and swallow them all the time, and that's what apparently boys do. So I spent all of his formative years telling him I would be pissed as hell if I ever had to take him into the hospital.
Because you're afraid of getting made fun of.
Oh, of course. I don't care about him. I care about me. All right? This is my reputation on the line. I am not bringing my son to my colleagues to be so I can be laughed at.
Exactly.
He can be damned. And then, sure enough, he's 4 or 5 years old, and we have some friends over, and all of a sudden one of my friends comes over. He's like, I think your son swallowed a coin. And I asked him. He was like, he just would not tell me what it was or anything. I told my husband, like, I'm not taking him. You take him to the ER. I text my friend Andrew, who's the children's hospital doc, a GI doc, and I was like, Andrew, I can't believe I have to say this. I think my son swallowed a coin. We're not sure what kind of coin it is. And immediately he calls me back. I see the caller ID. I pick up the phone. And this is, by the way, this is the kind of level of concern you get as a physician from your colleagues. All I hear is laughter. And then he hangs up on me.
Then he hung up on you.
And he hung up on me. And then he called me back like seconds later. He's like, I didn't mean to hang up on you. He's still laughing. I'm like, I hate you. I hate you so much. And he's like, what was it? And I go, we have no idea. You won't tell us. I suspect it's probably a quarter. And he's like, just send him in. I'll let the fellow know that you guys are coming in. So then I get a series of text messages from my husband. The first one says, our son keeps telling all of the ER staff that this thing just fell into his stomach. He didn't swallow it. It just fell into his stomach. Then he sends me a picture of the x-ray, and I can see the coin. It's post-pyloric. I'm like, whatever. We're not going to do
anything. What's that mean? What's post-pyloric mean?
Past the stomach. Past the stomach. The pyloric valve is right between your stomach and your small intestine. So he had already passed it through his stomach.
So you had to wash from the poop for like a couple days?
No, God, I'm not doing that. It's worth 25 cents for all I care. I'm not going to do his poop.
It's just in his diaper at that point.
I'm a GI doctor, okay? Like, we don't do that. We clean you out before we...
Okay.
And then I get a text message from Ross saying, so we're playing I Spy while we are waiting for the doctor, and your son, my son, of course, says, I spy with my little eye something silver, like the coin I swallowed.
His brown eye. What did he spy with his brown eye?
When he walked in the door, coming back from the ER, he walked right over to me. This like little 4 or 5 year old boy looked me right in the eye. He goes, "Am I? You're still in your black book, mommy?" I go, "Yes, you are."
Yes, you are.
I'm like, I cannot.
Because mommy got made fun of it at the hospital because my son almost swallowed a quarter. Great.
I did get made fun of. They still bring it up.
Yeah. Bringing great shame to the family.
Yes, he did. He did to this GI.
Well, at least he wasn't helping the maid or anything.
Yeah, you're right.
That'd be really shameful.
Yeah, that's a lot of.
This is true. He's just living up the tradition in our family of bringing shame to the family. But please bring your kids in. We've seen everything. Honestly, the things we have, there are pictures in every endoscopy suite of like the trophies that we have pulled out of people's stomachs, intestines.
Trophies.
Oh yeah, little like figurines, there was a, is it King Kong or something, like some kid had swallowed.
Yeah, trophies have like hands in the air and footballs at the end and baseball bats.
Man, okay. Oh, we got everything. We got everything.
Baseball bats.
Well, like a baseball trophy with a bat hanging off of it.
Oh, okay.
There was actually
an
aluminum bat.
No, that doesn't fit. Puss told me that.
There was a woman who perpetually would swallow pens. This was like an addiction she had.
Oh, my God.
Pens, yes. And we all knew as fellows she swallowed pens, and we were told when you go to meet with her, you have to keep your pens, like put them in your pockets, make sure you don't leave anything in her room.
She gobbles them up.
She took one of the first year fellows. It says Hospital of University of Pennsylvania. We had to fish it out of her stomach. She left it in her room and she swallowed it. Oh, that fellow got made fun of so much for the year. All right, so there was also a question of what does gluten do if you eat it, if you're allergic to it versus being intolerant, and what does it do in celiac? This is actually, I think, a very important thing because, as you guys pointed out, there's a lot of people are going on this gluten-free diet, and it it does not make any sense. So
yeah.
Gluten is a protein. It's found in wheat. It's found in rye. It's found in barley. It's found in almost everything out there. It's not just breads and pastas. I mean, there are a lot of preservatives, additives, and all kinds of salt, like soy sauce. Everything has gluten in it. So going gluten-free is very, very difficult and very expensive. People with celiac cannot tolerate gluten, even in small amounts. So just the amount in a single crouton will cause them trouble. What it does is it triggers an immune response, and it causes a reaction in their intestinal tract.
You rarely hear that unit of measurement, a single crouton.
Crouton. That's what we use for our patients. Just to emphasize how small the amount is. It's not like noise.
It's a great example.
I think that's metric.
Isn't it? Yeah. One crouton
is metric.
That's the Orville, I think. They
that is.
Yeah.
That is.
And
you know, it's a complete. It's the GI metric system right there. Now, there are people who are sensitive to gluten. They feel better if they avoid it or if they decrease it, but they don't get that same inflammation in their intestinal tract if they were to eat it. So they're not having the same damage. They may just be a little bit sensitive to it, kind of like being allergic to lactose versus intolerant of lactose. It's not going to cause the same damage. You may not just like it, but you can actually eat gluten. But what happens if you have actual celiac disease? Well, these patients, if they don't treat it, they get malnourishment. They can get osteoporosis. They can have miscarriages or be infertile. They can develop cancer. So that inflammation will increase their risk of cancer in their small bowel. And they can also develop loss of, like, neurological problems, loss of feeling in their hands and their feet. So it's very serious for patients who have celiac that they avoid gluten. Now, if you're worried that you have a gluten allergy or something like that, there's a blood test that can test for the antibodies to gluten. And then if that is positive, we will actually go in and do an EGDoscope and take a biopsy of the small intestine, and that can actually be tested for it. But this is a real medical condition. So just going gluten-free because it's a fad.
It's a fad, right, exactly.
It's not. It's expensive. It does nothing for you. It costs so much money. And trust me, if you talk to people who truly have celiac, it is not fun. It is not fun. This is not a fun thing that they have to do. So it is serious. It's definitely definitely a serious problem. And then there was also a question of why is red meat worse than white meat?
We found out. The radio station we're going to broadcast to really unhealthy diets, apparently. And we blame that on just everybody just chewing on cows. You know?
USA Today has a list of cities with the worst diets, and every city we broadcast to is on there. Lincoln's on there,
sure
Omaha's
Philadelphia
on there,
is too.
And Wichita is on there.
I am sure Philadelphia is on there as well.
Probably.
I'm 100% sure.
Cheese
Between
steaks.
The cheesesteaks and the pretzels, there's nothing good here.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just saturated fat.
Cheesesteak and a pretzel would be great right now.
Extra cheese whiz, please.
On both of them.
So it's just the saturated fat in red meat. It's got a higher proportion of saturated fat. This raises your blood cholesterol. This makes your heart disease worse. Does this mean that you should never eat red meat? No, of course not. You just limit how much you eat once a week and in a smaller portion, and then try and increase the amount of fish, chicken, other types of meats that are lower in that saturated
Philadelphia
fat.
Is not on here. They only go 40 deep. So.
Oh. I am very surprised.
40 croutons deep. That's
yeah.
I am very, very surprised. there were two other things, but one's pretty long, so I might save it for the next time I call in. It was somebody had tweeted me out something, and I still need to do a little bit of work in it. The last thing I always wanted to close up with is, I think you guys had mentioned this, but I want to drive home the importance of what's going on regarding the census, because this is what I do for a living. I count things. Mm-hmm. I'm an epidemiologist. What we do, what I tell everybody is I just count things, and counting is important. Counting matters.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding how much of something we have or how much we need, it's very, very important. So this, and to put this into perspective, the census is
that crazy. You had to say counting matters in this day and age.
Facts matter, and knowing
matter,
how much of something
matter,
is out there, counting matters. So the census is done every 10 years. So this is data that will. It's the next one is 2020. It is data that will affect us for the next decade. So it's very important. It's important to get it right. And what are some of the things the census does? Well, it decides, for example, how many representatives every state gets in Congress.
Right.
It decides how many votes every state gets in the Electoral College. It decides how many billions of dollars in federal funds are distributed through programs like Medicaid, Head Start, the National School Lunch Program. It decides how we allocate a lot of things in this country. So getting it right is important. So the question here is having a citizenship question on the census. And that's what's at the heart of this. So also to be
they're
very
living
clear,
here. They're living here.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we,
yes.
We need to count them. We need
to
count
to
them.
Don't count them.
Exactly.
Right. Don't count them as citizens, but count them because they're here.
Yes,
right.
They're here taking...
So we measure citizens in this country and through a completely different survey that is done every year. It is done, it's called the American Community Survey. It is a survey conducted by the Census Bureau, but it's done annually. So we already have this information. Putting a question about citizenship on the census risks significantly undercounting immigrants, minorities, and low-income people because they will be afraid of answering the census.
Yes.
So
yeah.
You
the age-old
imagine...
question is, where do you measure the citizen from?
The taint. The taint. way back.
I mean,
it is,
if you scare people from answering this, and they decide they want people to do that.
They want to do that.
That and that's what they're trying to do. Absolutely.
It
will turn a lot of people away.
The right is trying to do that.
Yeah, but they're doing everyone.
That would happen.
They're doing everyone a disservice.
Not them. Not them.
Well, no, yes, they are.
No, because they don't want those people represented anywhere.
Traditionally.
Right, they're missing out on money then.
Yep.
You're right, actually, because while traditionally Democratic states with large immigrant populations, you would think that they would run the risk, there are a lot of lower-income immigrant populations in southern states, a growing number Texas and North Carolina and Georgia. And those states also run the risk of significant undercounting for what they actually need in that state and then not being allocated appropriate funds. And again, this would last for 10 years. So this is really... The census data is something we as epidemiologists use for tracking for everything. What is the baseline numbers of people we have when we're thinking about heart disease, when we're thinking about interventions that we have to do? Where do we need to start these programs? Where do we need more of these programs? You know, all of this is data we use every day when we're talking about just
counting matters.
It's counting matters. If you take nothing else from this conversation, counting matters.
You count those meat packers.
You are so smart. So smart.
Yeah. All right, guys. I will catch up on a few other things next week, but I love you guys.
Love you too,
love you. All right. Take care,
bye-bye. Dr. Mina.
Bye now.
Richard Reese in the house.
Good morning.
Good morning. To see you, man.
How you guys doing?
All right. Not really a good nickname, Tricky Dick.
No, it's not.
That's Nixon.
It don't matter. It's been used by a very unpopular character. Don't tell me what to call family.
That's right. You guys are related.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. We are. Yeah.
Maybe Richard would prefer not to be called that.
I like that. That would stick to that. I was going to say, I like Tricky Dick.
Yes, you do. Richard Reese with us. Come on back. We need a break.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Hey, it's Todd and Tyler.
And thank you for listening to the podcast.
Please take a second to tell us how much you like the podcast.
And don't forget to comment.
Thanks again. On to the next podcast episode.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers. But you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.